Dear Heavenly Father, thank you always for this time, moment. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for everything that you will continue doing in our life. We appreciate everything. We worship you. We praise you. We declare your glory, your favor, everything. We declare that it's coming from you. We declare over us, over this church, over everyone. We always ask you, Lord, to be you speaking to the church, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, not me. I want to make sure, please, God, we're going to share your scripture, your word, and we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit is going to be touching here everyone and also transforming everyone for your glory, for your purpose, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Really quick, anyone have any other anniversary here or just Vic today? Or this month? Anyone? No? Anniversary. Victor Perez have a 40th anniversary. We just said. Anyone else? You too? Okay, okay. Because I want to do something different, if it's possible. Please, if the church may allow me. I'd like to see if we can bring you guys over here and we pray for you really quick. If that's something that we can do, really quick. Also you guys, anniversary for that or no? Why not? Come on. There you go. Let's do it. Praise God. Awesome. If you want to stay over there, you can extend your hands over them from there, or feel free to come over here if you want to, and we can pray for these families. Hallelujah. Thank you. Appreciate it. You're fine. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these families. Thank you for all and in them. Thank you for the blessing of the anniversaries that they are meeting today. We praise you, God, for their life. We praise you for all the things that you are doing, all the strengths, maybe circumstances or difficulties that they are going sometimes. But they're still here. They're still here worshiping you. They're still here blessing you through the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for their life. We declare your glory over them, and we bless them, and we declare that you will continue blessing them and their families and all the things that you have for them. Please continue giving them strength. Please continue giving them all the wisdom that they need, the knowledge that they need to continue handling everything that is still coming in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're asking you these things. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you. Yep, God bless you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Okay. I'm going to tell you this story really quick. And it is at the courthouse. This man says to the judge, "Please have mercy. I have a wife and three kids." A wife and three kids. The guy say, "Please have mercy of me," to the judge. The judge reply and say, "But you have served the sentence and paid your debt. You are free now." You got it? Okay, okay, okay. That's another person. That's not me. I love Jeanette. I love my kids. I love you guys. Love you. That's another man. Yeah, I know. That's a Father's Day joke. Oh, my goodness. But there was a delay over there. Oh, no. Got it. Yeah. No, that's a Father's Day joke. So sorry. But I love my family. I love everyone. That's awesome. Appreciate it. For me, I learned through my life because, as you guys already know, a little bit about my story about my parents or my dad. I learned that paternity is really important. And you guys know that. However, it doesn't mean that things that numbers, data, statistics that they are out there that I want to share with you guys really quick is going to be also affecting you guys. But I know for me, I can say that that's something that affect me in my family, and then everything, or I overcome that with God, with Jesus Christ, all the glory to him. So according to statistic, it says that 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless home. 71% of high school dropouts also from fatherless home. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Nearly 25 million children live without their biological. Thank you, Father. 60% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. What we are doing, are we mentoring them or are we not following these things and helping other people? 55% more likely to enroll in college when they are mentoring these kids or children. 78% more likely to volunteer regularly also. 90% of them are interested in becoming a mentor themselves. 130% more likely to hold leadership positions. 46% less likely to use drugs. 81% more likely to participate in sports or other activities when you are mentoring these kids that they don't have a father. For me, that was like a number thing in my life because, as you guys know, I grew up with not having my biological father in my life. I have a stepdad. I thank God for that. However, you know how it is. Sometimes it's not the same thing. It's difficult, but I praise God for my stepdad, and God restored my family. We're bringing my dad in my life, and right now we have a good relationship. So, but in the time that I was not having that figure in my life, I was always asking God and asking that question about father and where is, you know, the paternity, how important it is in the life. And he told me, I am your father. And that's what I also follow. And then after that, when I was a Christian, then I would start asking him about friend, because it's always having a good friend and you having a good friend to talk about life and have fun with anything, sports or whatever. It's always having a good friend. And when I was converted to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then I lost a little bit of that, you know, having the friends and everything. And I was asking the same question to God, and he told me that the Holy Spirit is your friend. He's with you all the time. And that gave me peace and calm in my heart, in my life, and then I will continue moving forward. And that's what is giving me strength right now until today, to always believe and have the heart and my mind that he's my father. Jesus Christ, his son, is my brother, and I have the Holy Spirit. He is as my friend always with me to help me in my life. It is amazing. So I will encourage you to always have that in your mind and your heart. You have a father. If you don't have it physically here, that's fine, but you have another. You have a father over there. We cannot just start having, like I say the other time, like being in a corner just crying because I don't have a father or something like that. You have a father. You have it in your life. It is in heaven. It's there. You have a father. He's your father. So don't forget about that. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. He's your father, and you have a brother, Jesus Christ, and also you have the Holy Spirit as a friend in your life. So today I know that we are talking about the paternity because it's really important. But also today we're going to talk about the continuation of the series about grace, the grace of God, a beast of grace. But today we're going to talk about it specifically to the topic of the power of grace. What is the powers of grace? What is entitled on that? And I want to tell the story about what happened in January 1st in 1863 in this nation. You guys know more than me. Abraham Lincoln issued the final Emancipation Proclamation, which declared that all the slaves within the rebellious state are and henceforward shall be free, bitterly denounced in the South and by many in the North. The proclamation reduced the likelihood that the anti-slavery European powers will recognize the Confederacy as an independent nation. Some emancipated slaves quickly fled from the neighborhood of their owners, while others became wage laborers for former owners. Most importantly, African Americans could make choices for themselves about where they labored and the type of work they performed. This guy, the historian and writer Shelby Foote, created a narrative of the Civil War, and when a slave was asked in 1864 what he thought of the liberator and the freedom they receive, they say, I know nothing about this called liberator, Abraham Lincoln, but only that he freed Fred. Freed us, and we don't know anything about that either. They have the freedom, they receive that information, but I don't know anything. I don't know how what is going to be happening in my life or what is changing in my life. I'm just continue doing this because I don't have any other knowledge. Nobody tell me anything. Nobody teach me anything. I don't know anything. So what strategy is this that you have that information, that someone tell you that? Those who have been slaves for a long time are now finally and legally free, but they continue living with fear, shame, and therefore as slaves. Incredible. Don't be surprised, because there are so many Christians that they're living the same way. We are free from Jesus Christ, but we're still living as a slave of sins in our life. And we know it. We have the information. We have all the story here. We have a revelation with God. We have an experience with God. We have everything. But sometimes we're still living as slaves. Yeah, I know. I'm including myself over there. I'm also guilty of that. Sometimes we're still thinking in that because we are correlating our life, or physical experience, or the way the culture grew us, or the information that we got, and we correlate that with spiritual life. And that's why we still living as slaves, because we're still justifying our actions and everything that we're doing through the law, the old law, not the grace of God, which is through manifested by Jesus Christ. The statistics reveal that some prisoners want to be in prisons because outside their confines of prison, they cannot control their desires and passions, which they prefer to stay locked up under control. And that's the important thing. The dynamic that this behavior demonstrates is that many prefer the safety of slavery to the risk and or responsibilities of freedom. And that's what happened with the Israelites. They were slaves in Egypt. And when they went to be free, set free, they were free. They received the freedom. Now they are over there in the wilderness, on the desert. And what happened? I want to go back over there. I was okay. I have food. I have water. I have everything over there. I was a slave, but that's fine. I guess I can manage the slavery. I just want food. I just want the other stuff. I don't want to be free. So that's the mentality of the many of us, that we prefer to go back to be slaves instead of the responsibility of the freedom. Because to be free, there's some responsibilities. Yes, by faith, we have the confidence that Christ died for us. We believe in that, and we are safe. But there's some responsibilities coming after that, right? We have to follow his commandments, the main two ones. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You have to love your neighbors. We know that. The two, that those two will be in compliance of the whole law. That's a responsibility. Because most likely you and I, we didn't grow or got the teaching of love your neighbor. love the other ones. It's difficult because the way that maybe we understood or learned how to treat other ones, it was differently. Right? But now God is telling you, love them. Be patient. Compassion. Mercy. And that's the things that you and I sometimes we don't like to get out of our heart because we want to take the judgments in our hands. And that's the law. That's the slavery. And it's really risk and responsible to get the freedom in your life to love other ones as you're supposed to love you. And that's the same way that you love God. Living in freedom requires that high degree of responsibility, and not everyone is willing to assume it. Come on, yeah, let's be honest. When we are out there and we are facing our circumstances, that's the moment that we are going through. We want to live as a free person with Jesus Christ, or go to a slavery and then do what I want to do by my desires, by my passions, by my flesh, because that's me controlling everything. And that's then is becoming the slavery to the sin. Makes sense. Simple, right? Okay, so Romans 3 presents to us the declaration of freedom. So let's go over there. Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. It presents some declarations that we can understand more about where we at or where we need to understand where we're supposed to be if we are as slaves. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start from verse 9. Are we there? Hallelujah. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. There's other version, Hebrew textual Bible, that says, don't even think about it. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous. That's you and me. Not even one. There is no one who understands. That's you and me. There is no one who seeks God. That's you and me. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious on our sins. So what is the verdict for us? We are all guilty, according to Scripture. What is the sentence? Death. And that's the thing that we need to understand first. The sin. The mind that we have. The mind that we have from Adam, thank you. I keep saying the same thing. Jeanette is like, oh my goodness. Sorry. Yeah, I know. And I have a coworker named Adam. And I keep saying the same thing. I don't know why. The Spanish, sorry. My apologies. Okay, so we keep continue from there. And then that sin, it is in our mind. It is in our heart. So that's why God wants us to understand, hey, based on that flesh, based on that mindset, you are not righteous. You are guilty. You deserve death. Now, let's go to Romans 6. And this is where we're going to stay a little bit over here. And I'm going to read in a different version, so let's go to Romans 6. This is going to be ESV because it's using some words that they are really good that I want to go over them. 3 points that I want to share from here. So number one, it says, what shall we say then? This is verse 1. Are we continuing sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Is dead already. Why we are living in that again? Jesus Christ has already defeated that. And sometimes we go over there and it's trying to revive that sin and trying to make it happen in our life when it's already dead. Now, this is the fight that we're having, because there's two approaches over here from Paul. Number one, those who do not claim their freedom and continue to live as slaves. Therefore, nullified grace, because being free, they live as slaves. Number two, the second approach that he's sharing over here, there's a group that is free and abuses the grace. So he said, I'm not in favor of those two things. These people from Rome, they're not getting or not understanding this from God. That is by grace, not by the law. And now that we are sharing how you are saved and how abundant, how big, how deep is the grace of God that is over the sin, they say, oh, well, okay, so let me go and sin because I have been saved by grace. Everything is fine. Let me duplicate the sin so we can triplicate, quadruplicate the grace of God. No. Because when you understand the grace of God, the sin is not over you anymore. It's dead. Anyway, the sin is already dead from Jesus Christ. Your body and my body is already on that cross dead. There's no part in that. But again, I'm including myself, sometimes we go back there, remove the body of sin out of the cross, we put it on, and then we continue living as a slave. Because the grace of God is sufficient. It's supposed to cover everything. We're not supposed to live in that slavery anymore. 1 John 2:1, it says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, it can happen, right? Nobody's perfect. According to this, it can happen. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. The two that we just shared earlier. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands. Ouch. He's a liar. This is not me talking. Don't shoot at me, or don't shoot the messenger. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And that's the question. How you and I are living right now? Are we living as Jesus did or not? I don't want to discourage you. I just wanted to reveal what is maybe stopping you to believe in the grace of God. Because if we don't remove that out of your heart, out of your mind, it will keep over there. I want you to understand that according to the Bible, we do not deserve that. That's the grace of God. You are receiving a favor, a gift from God, because you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. That's the beautiful grace of God. When you think or you say, I did everything, but I think that I can reach some salvation. I think I can reach some healing from you, God. And he say, you can do anything you want, but it's not going to happen. Because I give you that for free. You cannot do anything to gain that. Because what you and I deserve is the death, according to Scripture. Because we came from that sin life in our life. But according to this Scripture, it says, if you proclaim, if you say that you are a Christian and believer, are you living and walking as Jesus Christ did? Are you continue doing his commands or not? Are you loving your neighbor? Are you merciful to them? Faithfulness expressing to them? Are you really believing in God? Are you loving God with your mind, with your heart, with your soul? That's what it says over there. Sorry. I'm including here, guys. I'm in the same boat like you guys. I go through same circumstances, or maybe different than yours, maybe smaller, maybe bigger, I don't know. But according to the scripture, any difficulty, circumstances that you and I, we are going through, we are capable to handle them. We all have the capacity to handle all the circumstances. And sometimes we give the power to the sin, saying like, okay, I'm going to remove God off the picture. Let me just do it. Let me just take care of these things. Don't remove him out of the picture. Anyway, you're not seeing what you want to see. Don't remove Jesus Christ out of your life. Continue believing he will do the miracle. He will do something in your life. Just wait. Be patient. Continue loving each other. Continue in unity. God will continue blessing you, prospering you. He will do the power that he will do in your life. I want to share with you guys how we can live above the control of that sin in our life. Because always, I know that we always do, oh, the flesh. Yeah, this is the body. I know. And according to scripture, we're going through there now. This is the instrument of the manifestation of our flesh. Which the flesh, the definition is pretty much the condition of your heart or the condition of your mind. Let's go over there really quick. Okay, 3 points. So that way Chris can make some burgers for us. Number one, according to scripture, Romans 6:3 says, do you not know? That's the first point. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the first point that I want to share with you guys, it is, do you not know? I don't know what's going on over here? That right now our body is crucified over there with Christ. The scene is there. Don't bring it back. Leave it over there. He already defeated. Keep living in freedom in your life. Free, joy. The goal over here is that we can live as a joyful Christians, that we enjoy this life, that we can make that sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes that price, that high price, make it worth. Thank you. It's valuable. He died for you and for me. Let's just enjoy it, that moment. Enjoy the life of grace. Number one point over here, inside of the do you not know, it is the word baptism. In this adaptation of the Greek word, because we're talking in the New Testament, is baptizo, which it means, it is a clear that is this word precisely means immersion, submerge, or place under. That's why there's some confusion about the baptism sometimes, about water on the top or immersion. So the baptism that he was talking over here, the scripture tells us that when Jesus was baptized, he then came up out of the water. It involves what happened when you dip a piece of clothing in ink to change its color, which is mean coating. Maybe you guys don't know, but do you guys know some people how they paint or they put some coating over the wheels or rims of a car? You might be seeing Rudy or Chris. You know, they do an immersion also. So there's a water, so like a pot of water, and then you in the top there's some painting, there's some coloration. You can do anything. Normally they do the carbon fiber. And then they put the wheels, the rims, inside over there to get the impression of that and then take it out. And now you have the impression on the wheel or the rims. And we can talk about that in other items. But the great example of this explanation is going to be that one. Jesus Christ is over there, right? His death is over there. And then when you and I, we are baptized, we get under that. And then when we are dead, the death, a sin, we go inside there, and then we are getting coded by Jesus Christ. We're getting coded, dressed by Jesus Christ, and then getting now with his dress, with his coding. Praise God for that. Because now we have that coding in us, on us. And then we can continue walking with that coding of Jesus Christ. That's the blessing, to go over that sin. So we don't have any control. The sin doesn't have any control over us anymore. Galatians 3:27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Colossians 2:12, "Have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Colossians 3:1-4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things." Okay. Yeah, sometimes, okay, let's continue. "And things above." Praise you, God. Thank you. "Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." And you and I, we have that problem sometimes. Let's be honest. That's what he wants us. Reveal that. And he, through his scriptures, he's saying, start thinking about the things of heaven, about the kingdom of God. Start thinking about that. Start putting those things in your heart. "Set your minds on things above, not earthly things, for you die, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Simple. Let's start thinking about everything in heaven and start celebrating the kingdom of God in our life. You can manifest that over here on the earth. Sometimes we get confused. We keep saying the same thing about the eternal life that we're thinking is going to be later. You start living that right now. You start living that right now. Since you accept Jesus Christ in your life, eternal life is happening. So start living, walking on that. It's happening right now. You're not just here waiting, "Oh, eternal life, I want to have that experience later over there." Right? No, right now, this is the moment. Enjoy it. Have fun. Freedom with Christ. Romans 6:5, inside of that scripture, let's go back, 6:5, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free for sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again." Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah for that one. There's nothing that the death can do. And it says over here, "Death no longer has dominion over him." And if you are over there with Christ, death doesn't have dominion over you either and me. Praise God for that one. There's no dominion of the dead over you. So in other words, the death is the result of the sin. In other words, the sin, it doesn't have power and control over you unless you take it back in your life and do it. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So Colossians 3, let's go over there because I want to share with you guys some good words over here in Colossians. Colossians 3. It's talking about this specific experience of being crucified with God, with Jesus Christ, and being death on the same death of Jesus Christ. And now we are having that experience with Jesus Christ and the same resurrection. We will have the same resurrection. Hallelujah. 3, 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We shared that one already. Okay, number 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Please. This is God talking to you and to me right now. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourself of all such things as this anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie. God bless you. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, a slave of, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. Praise God to that. Death is over. It's done. It doesn't have any dominion over you and over me. Grace of God in your life. That's the one that you have dominion right now because we believe in Jesus Christ. Let's continue living as a free children of God. Ephesians 4:21 says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You and I know what is our old self. It's different mine than yours than everyone here. Some people have some temptations that they are maybe struggling because that was the old self. Maybe the same desires that I had in my old self is not the same yours. And the enemy is always going through that section. Always. Always he's going to try to bring you back on those temptations. But you and I, we are responsible to keep the freedom of God in our life through the grace and say, nope, I love this freedom. I enjoy this freedom. Why I want to go back to the suffering? Why I want to go back to the old things, the old self that it was keeping me captive as a slave? I don't want that in my life. I want to be free, enjoying this moment with God. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What death are we talking about? What is the death that he's talking about here? He's talking the death of domination of the evil inclinations. That represents that internal old self that we have, the evil desires that we have in our old self. That's the death that happened in your life and my life. It's done. It's over. It's over. Already on the cross. That's over. Now we're living in this grace. The second point that I want to share with you guys, it is consider yourself. So let's go to Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourself. This is Paul talking to the Romans, and now God talking through this piece of scripture to us. And number one, he say, do you not know? Number two, consider yourself. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. The old self is dead. We're done. It's done. It's dead. So it's really interesting when I was studying this, because the revelation of this word of consider, it brought a lot of good words, a good study. I like it. I never see this before. Let me share this with you guys. Consider in Greek means estimate. I'm waiting yours, Rudy. Roughly calculate or judge the value, number, quantity. Calculation. You guys have experience, and also me, about inventory, right? In your companies, work, maybe house also. You do some inventory in your house. You have an expectation of how much of this item you have over there. And then you have to do an inventory to confirm that. You stop everything and you say, okay, let me count and say, okay, the system says 10 pieces and I have 8 pieces. Oh, what happened with those two? Where they are? That's an inventory. You're doing a calculation. You're thinking like ahead of the game and say, according to the system, it says 10. According to my pantry, it says that I have 10 packs of sugar and I have just 8. Where's the other two? What's going on, Jiley? Are you selling the 2 packs outside? So that's the definition of consider, calculate. Now, when we read this, it says, calculate yourself. Calculate yourself dead to sin. It's dead. It's over. It's over. So the calculation, you are determining the amount of number. You are determining that death is over in your life. You don't have to count on that death anymore. That's over. And now what we are counting in our life is the grace of God. Freedom. Galatians 2:19 says, for through the law, I die to the law, so that I might live for God. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself before our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Calculation. By his wound have been healed. That's past tense, right? Past tense. It's already over. You have been healed already. And you might be asking, but why I'm healed? I'm not healing, right? I'm not healed right now. Why I'm sick right now? That's a body. Mind, flesh, which is not this. This is the instrument to the manifestation of the flesh. Present, which we're going through that one now. The third one and last one is present. You are presenting to God. According to the scripture, Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Do you remember the old life? Old desires. We can talk about anything else here. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, name it. Too many bad things, right? Desires. Start over there. Start over here. And the manifestation, it was this instrument, the flesh, external body, the corporate body. But the flesh starts inside of us saying, let's do this. Why? Maybe because you saw something and that wake up the sin in your life. Maybe because you suffered something when you were a little kid, or maybe youth or younger. I don't know. Again, it's different. And that revived that desire in us. That's the law. That's being a slave. Because now you are a slave of that. You are doing what is controlling you in your life. But according to this scripture, Paul is talking to the Romans and to us now and say, hey, present yourself, your instruments, your members to God as a righteousness. Righteousness to the others, to you, to your family members, to everyone. Present yourself. Hallelujah. The Greek meaning of this present is stand beside. And I don't have time, but I was thinking about singing a song today, but I'm not going to do that. Jaili's looking at me, what are you going to do? I don't know if I'm allowed to do that because I don't know too much about. No, Jeanette says no. Okay, let's not do it. Okay. The Greek meaning of this is stand beside. So that means when you are presenting your instrument, your corporal body, you are standing beside God and say, I'm here, God, and I'm presenting myself to you, putting this as an instrument of your grace. So that way we can manifest your presence over here on the earth. The sin, it was doing the same thing with you and me. With the desires, the old desires. And we were presenting our instrument members to the flesh, to the desires. And we were manifesting all those things outside corporally or out of our flesh to the world. But now God is talking to you and to me and say, present yourself righteous. To other people, to the other one. Manifest my glory, my grace to other ones. You have been saved because you believe in faith in Jesus Christ, my son. So please, in other words, let's present ourselves as a righteousness to God, to the other ones. Now that we are here on the earth. Colossians 3:5, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, put to death. Do not present your members to that anymore. Romans 7:5 says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions arose by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit to death. And they're one of the amazing ones, which is the Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I love this, yeah. But the true and proper worship, it is presenting your body to God. To serve Him, to worship Him. That's a really worship. Every single day, every single moment and second, presenting yourself to God. Sometimes we judge ourselves by our history. Agree with God and judge yourself by your destiny. Not by the history. Grace not only changes your destiny, it also changes your identity in the blink of an eye. The power of grace saves you and me. And that's why today we like to present that. The grace, the power of the grace of God in you and me. Worship God all the time. baptize, submerge, immerse, coated by Jesus Christ. And let's continue. Let's continue just living the life, believing in everything that he's doing in our life. Don't let the enemy try to seduce you with all the lies that he's putting in your life to bring you back to that old life. That will bring you slavery. Slavery and freedom. You are free. Don't waste it. Don't waste your time on that, on the slavery. You're free. Praise God for that. The power of grace is manifesting right now in our life. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Because we know and we understand that the baptism, it is living the death, the old life, already there. And now we are resurrected in Christ Jesus, coated by him. And we are calculating, considering ourselves already yours. We are in this grace, believing in you, trusting in everything that you are doing in our life. And now we are presenting ourselves to everyone, to you, as an instrument of your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for this blessing, for this word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. Thank you for everyone here. We worship you. We declare your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ.